just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché. You go right,
you go left, you go left. That's right, it's time for Touché. Chris Rowling, Dave Lundy in studio. This every Monday night here as we get ready. I mean, can you believe we've been doing this all year, guys?
Well, and now it is indeed starting to get dark outside.
It is. It's a dark and storm. Well, not
it's
stormy.
Amazing to think. I mean, we started, I think, Touché maybe back in the wintertime, like, because yeah. We were doing it before the primary. So, I mean, this has been a consistent slog.
It started off, we were doing recipes.
Yeah, we did recipes.
Right. Cakes, cookies.
And tonight I thought I would talk about Rosh Hashanah.
Right. That's right.
Lashana Tova.
Happy New Year to all of my Jewish thank you, Chris, to all of my Jewish friends out in our audience. I thought we'd talk about the holiday.
Not really. No. Let's talk taxes. New York Times gets an anonymous tip. They get a tax return from 1995. It could be Marla Maples. So crazy. But Dave, we've been talking about tax returns and whether or not he should release his tax returns. This is what he was hiding.
Well, you don't know that. This is one of the many, 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 many things that he's hiding. Look, I think that the tax return story is really interesting. First of all, there's the, hey, how come I have to pay taxes? Just for the record, Donald Trump says, well, I'm a businessman and this is how business people operate. I'm a businessman. I'm an employer. I'm a job creator.
Yeah.
Guess what? I pay taxes every year.
Yeah.
They're painful, but I do it because it's my obligation and the law. So, look, the fact that Donald Trump didn't pay taxes, that's one thing. The fact that Mr. Super Successful Businessman lost $1 billion in 1 year, that's an enormous
amount of
money.
Let me ask you this. I read
one-sixth of what Hillary lost at the Department of State.
Okay, let me ask you this. I've heard this before, the concept that, this is Hillary Clinton has thrown this out saying, this is the loophole. Donald Trump has taken it. He's an insider just like everybody. He's running on an outsider platform, but here he is taking advantage of the same things that America is sick of, billionaires, millionaires, and congressmen, everyone else taking advantage of everything. So, I mean, is there some truth there when this comes out this
way? Not really, no. I mean, her middle initials are special treatment. How else does she get through all of these
incredible...
Those are
incredible, initials.
Those are her middle initials.
Special treatment.
Special treatment. Okay. Hillary, special treatment Clinton. Because I am Hillary, special treatment Clinton. No, I mean, I think the public is inured to this kind of stuff. This means a lot to the punditocracy like us or the real pundits in D.C. or wherever the real pundits hang out. We're kind of real. But, it doesn't really matter to the regular person who already understands that this guy's a billionaire. He made and lost fortunes that they can't even imagine. The Taj Mahal casino in Atlantic City was doomed to failure almost from the night it opened, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is ancient history. Just unfortunately, and I know David wishes it wasn't that way and he'll do his best to revive it. Just like I wish it wasn't ancient history to people about the cattle futures or the travel office firings or any of the White House indiscretions or any blah, blah, blah. But the fact is people are looking at how bad the economy is today and is Hillary going to make it better or is Trump going to make it better? And I think that's really where folks are going to end up deciding.
Agree?
Of course not. First of all, Mr. How bad the economy is today. Rumor has it that we had the greatest single year income growth for regular people in the last year than in history. So the economy is not so bad, and it's actually doing a lot better.
Hillary Clinton talking about Bernie supporters, who she's now insulted the way she insulted Trump's supporters.
No, nice try. That one is super lame. I listened to what Chris is referring to is there was an audio tape that was revealed over the weekend that showed what Hillary Clinton was saying about Bernie supporters at a fundraiser, and they tried to turn this into another deplorables moment. The problem is that she was just giving a description of these Bernie supporters, and Bernie Sanders, when he was on the Sunday show, said, yeah, she was right. I agree with her. So that didn't quite have the zing that deplorables did. But let me go back to a point that Chris made, because I actually want to agree on one thing. The idea of you lost money, you can take that as a loss carried forward to future years, that's not a loophole. And as a businessman who's taken advantage of that, because guess what? Some years you lose money, some years you make money. It depends what it says on the piece of paper. You know, that's not, I think, the real issue. I don't know how real people are going to kind of, how this is going to play itself out in the hinterlands. I do think the issue of him losing $1 billion is a big deal. And what's a bigger deal is that we now have a point of entry to why Donald Trump hasn't been releasing the tax returns. And finally, the media are starting to ask the right question, which is, okay, don't release the ones under audit. Mm-hmm. What about the others in the last 20 years you could release today and not have an issue?
So the media may have stumbled onto, quote, that right question, and to use David's parlance, it still hasn't got any interest whatsoever in the 33,000 emails that Hillary destroyed. Now, I'm not scoring debate points, but I think listeners...
You're right, you're not.
Listeners are smart enough to understand that not only are these two of the least popular candidates in history, but they're also two of the most secretive candidates in history.
Hillary's released 38 years of tax returns.
Hillary, that is a drop in the secrecy ocean for Hillary Clinton. She devised the entire homebrew server thing to avoid public disclosure, and one may reasonably infer that was to keep from the public any sense of the Clinton Foundation Department of State overlap. And now we're going to get another view. If David is really interested into looking into what the folks are hiding, we're going to hear from Julian Assange in a day or two from Berlin. And
so glad a good pro-Soviet guy like you, Chris, is holding Julian Assange out as a hero these days.
I haven't said he's a hero.
He's a tool of Putin.
There have been several volumes of Hillary's emails floating around. He obviously has one. And the big question has been, how do you get these things validated? How are you sure that they're Hillary's emails? And I don't know if he is. I don't know what we're going to find.
Of course he's not.
But a lot of folks say they are for real and they're going to be devastating. We'll find out.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, touche here on The Download. We'll come back. We'll take a break. Let's talk about the Donald Trump Foundation, which is having troubles in New York. And we'll also talk, we'll continue to talk about tomorrow's and preview tomorrow night's vice presidential debate.
Excitement.
Yeah.
No dose available.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
You go right, you go right.
Touche here on The Download, 720 WGN. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling. The polls. Let's get right to the polls. Polls got a big spike after the debate for Hillary Clinton. Does she hold it? Because it seems like now all of the campaigning is either happening in Iowa, Pennsylvania. We'll see a little bit in Florida. Is it just in Carolina? Is that just the idea now? We're just for the rest of this, it's just going to be.
I wish we were on TV because your visuals here that you're throwing out of the hands. It's all about the hands.
So many hands.
To the website, right?
Yes,
the website,
exactly. Watch us on the internets.
It was very CNN. It was very CNN what I just did.
Yes,
there.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, look, I think that after the debate on your show, I had predicted that she was going to pick up about 1.5 to 2 points. But that was before the week of insanity. And I'm not just talking about Chris's insanity that ensued.
I thought Georgia the Jungle had taken over.
You know, the 3 a.m. tweet fest followed by the 5 a.m. tweet fest. You know, the obsession with Miss Universe, Alicia Machado. Because, of course, you can't just alienate women. You have to alienate Latinos. It wasn't just that. It's been amazing. So I'm now guessing that her lead settles like 5 to 6 points in the polls
I believe that the story of this year, and I've said this before, is the extraordinary closeness of the race, despite all of the craziness of Trump and the duplicity of Clinton. But even now, the LA Times released, and the LA Times poll, which is very significantly methodologically different
flawed
from these other polls. So you say, but actually there's a hell of a lot of thinking behind the methodology of the LA Times poll, has him a week after 5 points up, 47-42.
Really?
Now, the truth is he has slid. Trump has slid in Colorado, and I think he slid in North Carolina.
He was winning everywhere.
He was
except
Ohio. No. He's still in Ohio.
No. I'm sorry. Except Iowa.
He's up in Iowa. He's up in Ohio. But the point here is that there is still dynamism in public opinion, meaning it is not set in stone. It's still bouncing around out there,
which means the debates
are important.
I guess it's amazing to me because I guess what it says is that scandals over and over in the media, they just don't have that much of an effect
on him. Yeah, it's bizarre. And look, we don't know. I agree with Chris that there's dynamism in the electorate. And it seems like what they're saying is, look, I really don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton. And I really don't want to vote for Donald Trump. But this Gary, what is Aleppo? I can't name a foreign leader guy. Despite the Tribune's weird endorsement. They can't do that either. So, I think we're not going to know who the winner of this thing is until mm-hmm. November 8th and maybe November 9th.
Or after. I agree also with David that Trump went off the rails after that that debate, which we talked about a lot a week ago tonight. He was good in the first 30 minutes, and then he just sort of slid off the table. And then what it showed, unfortunately, in the campaign is that there wasn't a mechanism. There wasn't some sort of... Normally, by this time, there is a center of gravity, right? Sort of Melania, Kellyanne Conway, and Roger Stone. You know, I mean, just to use names, okay? Two or three people who will say, hey, wait a minute. Wait. Get it out. You know, go to the gym, work the punching bag, get it out of your system, and then come back in a couple hours because we got to get back to where we were. We were winning all over the place, and now you're hurting us.
He worked the punching bag. And, it's women. He uses. I mean, metaphorically,
that is
not physically. That's not
the
ridiculous.
The actual punching bag for Hillary Clinton has been the women of Bill
oh,
Clinton.
Oh, please.
That is absolutely clear.
Chris, that
forever.
Is such
and none
a lame comparison.
About it.
It is
none
a lame comparison. Donald Trump has personally fat-shamed dozens of women. There's
Donald
a story out
Trump
of The Apprentice
the
today that
guy,
this is all he ever does.
He's the first guy in the history of New York to put a woman in charge of a construction company in
fat
the city
shamer
of
in chief.
So you say.
No, I don't say. He does. What do you think? What do you think is
all
he's
right.
telling? He's advising the people to watch a porno tape.
David, it's not a I understand it's not a porno tape, though I have not watched it, so I can't tell you for sure.
All right, let's move on.
What about the Trump Foundation? What about the foundation?
Let's talk. Let's you know what? Let's. We only got
2 minutes.
We got 2 minutes left. Let's ask about the preview of tomorrow night's debate. The vice president.
yeah.
Okay. So who's got more to lose in this case? I mean, is it Pence or is it Kane? In the sense that if somebody has a bad performance tomorrow, who's more likely for it to affect?
I'll say, as one of the few people probably on or listening to this program who actually witnessed the Bob Dole Democrat Wars moment, I was in Brooklyn, New York, watching with some friends.
You're old.
All right.
Let me tell you, that did not help Jerry Ford. I know normally the Veep stakes is not determinative of the upstairs outcome, and Ford had his own problem in the debates that year. But that Bob Dole moment was unsettling to the Ford Dole 76
well,
ticket.
Well, didn't I mean Biden and Palin? That was a big one where we saw even Biden and Ryan as well. Like there seems to be there's something that goes in these vice presidential candidate debates that resonate with the populace.
There is, but those types of moments often happen when there's a disparity between the candidates. You've got Mike Pence,
yeah.
the governor of Indiana. You've got Tim Kaine, the governor of Virginia. These are two solid guys. I don't agree with anything that Mike Pence stands for, but he's a fairly solid guy. Mike Pence or Tim Kaine is a very solid guy. I agree with most of what he stands for. He's a really nice guy. These guys do not expect in a moment of excitement tomorrow night. It's just not going to happen.
Can we just skip it?
Well, no, I don't think we should watch. We should find out what they're choosing to talk about, because these guys are a lot more disciplined, I think. Even Hillary's very disciplined, but they're more disciplined than their, you know, upstairs confreres here. And it'll be interesting to hear where they're bridging to. They're going to answer those questions. They're going to bridge, and then they're going to be making some points. And it'll be very interesting to hear what points they think are important to make.
You will hear Mike Pence give Donald Trump's message better than Donald Trump has ever given Donald Trump's
or ever could.
Or ever could.
In a more thoughtful, more conversational, and I would say more accessible way. Pence is an extraordinarily accessible guy, and that's part of the secret of his success over there in Indiana. You know, he was a radio talk show host, an attorney, congressperson, governor now. And he is going to do a better job with Trump's message than Trump can ever do.
We'll be right back here next Monday to see how this all shook out. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, Touche.
And I'll be joining Patty Vasquez tomorrow night
for between 11 and 2 a.m.
Set your alarm clocks for 1:30 in the morning.
That's right.
Dave will be on Patty. All right. Good to see you guys.
See ya.
See ya, Justin.